Let us pray. O God, our great companion, lead us day by day deeper into the mysteries of life and enable us to become faithful interpreters of life to our fellow men. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. It has been wisely said, perspective is everything, and it is. Our ability to see and hear is directly related to our perspective, our vantage point. For example, we seek to enhance awareness of our surroundings when we drive our cars. We consult our rear view and side mirrors to get a better sense of where we are in our driving environment. New cars are even coming out with cameras to show what is behind us. We have developed powerful telescopes like the Hubble that have helped us to see much farther into the reaches of space than ever before, 6 billion kilometers from Earth. The world's most powerful microscope is in a specially constructed room at the University of Victoria. It can view gold atoms at a resolution of 35 pectometers. One pectometer is about 20 million times greater than human sight. The ability to perceive ever more accurately and in greater depth is the driving force of science. The quest to understand drives all fields of human endeavor and is at the root of all good religion as well. During Lent, and especially during Holy Week, we have been on a quest to understand ever more fully our inner lives and the outer reaches of our relationships. Let us take just a few moments to reflect upon this journey to understand our relationships with God and with each other. During Lent, we refrained from saying or singing alleluias, as the focus of the Lent season drew us away from our successes and focused on our failures. Over and over again, we were urged to repent. And we have looked more closely at what repentance really means. It does not mean the feelings of guilt we feel when we are caught with our hands in some cookie jar of wrongdoing. We may feel guilty on the way to repentance. If we get stuck on feelings of guilt, we have not repented. We haven't heard and accepted the gospel of Jesus at all. Repentance does not mean feeling guilty. It does mean changing our behavior. It means facing the awfulness of our addictions, our destructive habits that hurt ourselves and others, and courageously commits to a better way. Repentance is summoning up the courage to accept the feedback from others, sifting through it to find its truth, and making those amends that make relationships possible again. It further goes and seeks to change those attitudes and behaviors that cause others and ourselves so much pain, suffering, and destruction. On March 16th, second Sunday of Lent, we were guided to unleash the power of forgiveness by writing down those troubling events and relationships that have nourished feelings of hurt and hatred. We then placed those slips of paper that we had written on in a burning flame, offering them to God as a symbol of our changed hearts. The church then pronounced absolution, a verbal reminder of God's forgiving love, despite our waywardness and persistent sharing. Perception is everything. Last Sunday was Palm Sunday. We processed through the church with palm branches hailing Jesus as King. We found ourselves shoulder to shoulder during the reading of the gospel according to Matthew. We did not want to say the words, but we did. Crucify him. Let him be crucified. We did not want to say those words, but intuitively we knew that they could come from our lips. We then heard a powerful sermon by our rector, who incisively and gently reminded us, each of us, that we are implicit in the needs of the world for peace, for food, for education, for confronting human trafficking, we learned again that perception is everything. Thursday night, Maundy Thursday, we gathered to reenact Jesus' last meal with his disciples. We followed Jesus' example and washed each other's feet. This unusual, intimate, caring act brought tears to some and deep humility to each one of us. We heard our deacon challenge us to meaningfully show the depths of our caring love for each other, in our needy communities in Phoenixville and across the world. After we had received the bread and wine, consecrated bread and wine was reverently received and reserved and taken to the altar of repose in the Lady Chapel. As the church lights dimmed, each adornment, symbol, communion vessel, altar frontal, candle, hymn book and prayer book, and kneeling pads were taken from the sanctuary and placed in the sacristy in preparation for Good Friday. The church was darkened, except for the Lady Chapel, where several people spent hours during the night in quiet contemplation, prayer, and vigil. The congregation left the church in darkness and quietness. Yesterday, we gathered again to participate in the 14 stations of the cross around the outside of this church. Each station vividly showing through words and symbol the progress of Jesus toward his own death. A wooden cross was proceeded in from the rear of the church and placed here in the chancel steps. Worshippers were given the opportunity to reverence the most sacred symbol of our faith. We then received the pre-consecrated bread and wine and left the church in silence. These are many of the meaningful experiences we encountered during Lent and during Holy Week. Each carries a deep, awe-inspiring perspective of what it means to be a follower of Jesus then and now. Tonight is the eve of Easter. We are experiencing a shift in our perspective. Through the powerful symbols of darkness and light, the dawn of Easter is beginning to be affirmed. We want to affirm and dare to say, Alleluia, Christ is risen. This is a new perspective that has come into the world, that life can overcome death, that there is life after death. This was such a revolutionary idea and event that the Roman authorities tried to restructure the events of Jesus' death and to disprove that it happened. So we affirm tonight that their plots failed. Christ is risen. That is the shift in our perception, in our perspective, that we affirm tonight and will do with great joy tomorrow. However, we cannot leave tonight without affirming again that Jesus did not have to die. The perception that put him to death must die. The ideas behind his death must die. They are ideas that continue to this day. And here are some of the perceptions that must die if the human race is to continue to live. Number one. The acceptance of intolerance for other human beings who appear different. That idea must die. The notion of white supremacy reared its head again this week with the shooting of three people in a Jewish center, and they weren't even Jewish. The sense of entitlement, number two, or superiority over others, must die. Societal status is not a true marker of human value. Number three, willful blindness must die. Truth must always trump self-interest. Number four, simplistic assumptions about human sexuality must die. We must remember that one of our bishops had to wear a bulletproof vest during his consecration as bishop, because he was gay. Number five, the deeply ingrained idea that for me to win, you must lose. An economic system that enables the rich to become richer as the poor become poorer is not a reflection of God's kingdom. It is an entrenched system of economic power. Edgar Mitchell, the Apollo 14 astronaut who went to the moon, gained a perspective that each of us as human beings would do well to embrace. This is what he said on the experience of landing on the moon and looking back toward Earth, and I quote, "You develop an instant consciousness, a people orientation, an intense dissatisfaction with the state of the world, a compulsion to do something about it. From out there on the moon, international politics look so petty. You want to grab a politician by the scruff of the neck, and looking back from the moon to the Earth in that distance, say, 'Look at that, you SOB.'" Jesus was saying the same thing poignantly from the cross when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Good Friday and Easter do not offer us cheap grace. There is no parental indulgence on God's part for the waywardness and stupidity of us as human beings. Good Friday and Easter mean we are not clueless. For God to say to us what he wanted to say cost the life of his beloved Son. Every cross, every crucifix, every mention of Jesus' name holds before us the awesome awareness that Jesus is King, King of kings and Lord of lords, and he will reign forever and ever. The world may not recognize it yet, but Easter is the reality that is changing the world.